Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the podcast. On this episode, we're going to be jumping back into the discussion about the norms of New Testament life. What was life like for the New Testament church, first followers of Jesus? Just what did it look like? What are the things that recur throughout the account of the book of Acts that tell us about what that life was like, and what does that mean for us today? Last time, we dealt with the daily aspect or the day-to-day aspect of that life, and today we're going to be looking at what role the Spirit played in the early life, the normal life of the first church. And so, what are the recurring themes that we see that relate to the Spirit? It's the Spirit's activity is probably the most prominent theme of the experience of the New Testament church. Rightly, some commentators have actually called the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that all throughout the book. But today we're going to zero in on one particular aspect of the Holy Spirit's activity in the book of Acts, and that's the aspect of filling or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, just a disclaimer, this is not going to be a broader theology of the third person of the Trinity. We're not going to dive into all the different aspects of that. We're not going to look at and discuss some of the differences between baptism and the Holy Spirit, filling with the Holy Spirit. But we're just going to stick to this one kind of example, which is the filling of the Spirit or being filled with it. So the Holy Spirit is mentioned 68 times in the book of Acts. And 10 of those times explicitly refers to a filling with the Spirit or being full of the Spirit. Generally, those 10 examples of Holy Spirit filling fall into two categories. One is when it's used as a general character trait about a person. So whether that's in Acts chapter 6, the seven that are chosen to serve the church in Jerusalem, they're called full of the Holy Spirit. That's the qualification they were to look for when they were choosing those seven. That's referred of later on at Stephen as well. In the midst of that same passage, it says that he himself was full of the Holy Spirit. Later in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas is also called a man who's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So that's the first kind of category. It could be a general character trait of some people in the New Testament church. The second category, the way that it was used, was it was a special filling at a specific moment in time that resulted in kind of a special or unique empowering. Oftentimes, it resulted in boldness and gospel proclamation. So the first time, the one probably that's most familiar to all of us is the falling of the Spirit on the initial body of believers there in Jerusalem. As they were gathered together, they were praying, and the Holy Spirit falls on them, says they're full of the Spirit, and then that's when the tongues of fire on their heads, they begin speaking in tongues, testifying to the mighty acts of God. We know the result of that was that Peter then goes and proclaims the gospel publicly there in Jerusalem. 3,000 people are saved that day and baptized. And so this was, let's note again, it was poured out on all believers. They even quote Joel's prophecy in that particular passage about how the Spirit was going to come and empower all types of people. And that's what we see happen. In Acts chapter 4, Peter as well receives a specific kind of filling of the Spirit while he's in the midst of ministry. He says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, as he's giving his response to the elders, to the religious leaders, there is that special filling that Peter gets that results in, again, the advance of the gospel, the testimony in boldness of the good news about Jesus Christ. Later on in the same chapter, in Acts chapter 4, all the believers are together praying for boldness. This is one of our favorite passages. This is something that we've had occasion to turn to again and again over the years as some of our brothers and sisters have faced persecution. The church gathered together in Jerusalem. It says in verse 29 of chapter 4, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, what a great encouragement of the church facing the issue of persecution and praying specifically for boldness, having that prayer answered. And again, to note, they were all together. This is all the believers, it says, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen, to return to Stephen, mentioned earlier as someone who was known as being full of the Spirit, but in the story of his proclamation and then eventually his martyrdom, right at the very end of chapter 7, verse 55, it says, "He, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." So in the midst of the persecution, Stephen, while he's giving that testimony, it says that he is experiencing the fullness of the Spirit right in the midst of it. So in the first missionary journey, Saul and Barnabas are sent out. They come to Cyprus and they're proclaiming the gospel. And it records an encounter with one Elymas who was opposing them. It says in verse 9, but Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the paths of the Lord?" And then Elymas is struck blind. And as a result of that, the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, because it says in verse 12, he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Later on in the same chapter, in the midst of the first missionary journey, it says as a result of their proclamation and what God was doing among the people, it says in verse 52, all the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So we've just seen bold gospel proclamation by Paul and Barnabas. Many people had come together. It says the Gentiles, specifically in verse 48, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And as a result, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So that summarizes the examples in the book of Acts we have of talking about being filled with the Spirit, whether that's as a characteristic that they're known as or these specific special times when people experience that.
Yes. So as we've gone through these examples this week, Jesse and I have been studying this and discussing this. The question that has resulted for us is, what does that mean for us? If this is such a big deal in the early church, both the overall activity of the Holy Spirit, but also this filling of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for us? It has been such a challenge to us. We want you to know that as our friends and listeners and co-workers, we are praying for more of this in our lives. What does this mean for us? It means, first of all, that being filled with the Spirit can be a general quality of our lives. We can have that be a description of us, just like these believers did in the early church. So I think that is exciting and inspiring. Secondly, it also means we too can have special fillings of the Holy Spirit at certain times in our life that will result in greater power. I want that. I don't want to live just a mediocre Christian life. I want to have special fillings of the Spirit that will give power for God's mission and for His kingdom, just like we see in the early church. Also, in Acts, we see these examples and these descriptions of being filled with the Spirit. But also, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:18, he actually commands believers to be filled with the Spirit. 5:18 in Ephesians says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." We are actually commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And in this passage, Paul compares it to being drunk. You all know what it's like, well, maybe not by personal experience, but what do we say when someone has been drinking? They're under the influence of alcohol. Alcohol changes how we act. It changes how we interact with people. It makes people do things they normally wouldn't do. And likewise, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be fully surrendered to the influence and the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to read a quick quote from Andrew Murray in his book, The Ministry of Intercession. He has a chapter on the Holy Spirit. He says about this verse in Ephesians 5:18, "The command comes to each of us, be filled with the Spirit. While some are content with a small measure of the Spirit's indwelling, it is God's will that we should be filled with the Spirit. That means that our whole beings ought to be entirely yielded to the Holy Spirit, to be possessed and controlled by Him alone." That's Andrew Murray. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be drunk on the Holy Spirit, to be under the influence or controlled by the Holy Spirit requires a yielding and a surrendering of our whole lives to Him, ourselves to Him, and I think even on a daily basis, surrendering ourselves to Him. So how do we do this, right? How do we obey this command? Be filled with the Spirit. How do we have this quality trait in our lives? Books and books have been written on the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. We will not attempt in this episode to give you a formula for how to be filled with the Spirit. But as we said at the beginning, our purpose in this episode is to show how this was a New Testament norm. This was an early church norm. So if we just look at those six examples that Jesse walked through with us in the book of Acts, we see some commonalities come out. We see some things that are connected to when people were filled with the Spirit. There's three things that we found, and it is just so beautiful because they all start with P. So here's the things: prayer, proclamation, and persecution. That's some of the patterns that we see in those examples, okay? So just to point out a bit, Acts 2, it happened when they were all together praying. They were devoted to prayer. They were praying together when the Holy Spirit showed up and they were filled with the Spirit. And what was the immediate result? They began testifying to the mighty acts of God in tongues, preaching with great boldness, and 3,000 were saved. Prayer and proclamation right there. Acts 4, Peter preaches so boldly that they were astonished. It said that they were astonished at Peter's boldness because he was just a common man and they knew that he had been with Jesus. That was the result, the clear result of the filling of the Holy Spirit in his life. It led to boldness in gospel proclamation. At the end of that chapter, when all the believers were together and they had faced persecution, and this new church, they were praying for boldness. They were praying for signs and wonders. The place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they continue to do? They continued to speak the word with boldness. So they were filled with the Spirit as they were praying for boldness, and it resulted in more boldness. Acts 7:55, when we see this very sobering instance of Stephen almost ready to be with Jesus face to face. He is at the brink of death, and God gives him a special filling of the Holy Spirit in that moment of persecution. In Acts 13:9, when Paul strikes Elymas blind, what is the whole purpose of that? It's to show God's power. And the result was the proconsul believed because of what he saw that had occurred. It was all for gospel advance. Acts 13:52, again, this is in the context of preaching the gospel boldly on their first missionary journey, the whole city listening to the gospel. There was opposition happening, but those disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So we can see prayer, persecution, and proclamation. And proclamation is the one thing that is a part of every one of these examples. I think one thing to remember is we can't take this out of the context of the early church. We're talking about believers that have been transformed by Christ, and they were all in on God's mission. So how do we pursue this filling of the Spirit? We see these things that are connected to it, the prayer, the proclamation, the persecution. We're not going to go out begging for persecution, but if we want to be filled with the Spirit, I think it's safe to say prayer and proclamation are very important. We're pursuing Christ in prayer, both individually and corporately. Jesse pointed out that corporate side of they were pursuing the mission together and they were praying together. And I think just pursuing the mission, God doesn't fill people up with the Holy Spirit just so we can sit in our houses and enjoy that warm, fuzzy, quiet time with Jesus. I do believe God wants us to experience his love. I do believe that is part of it. But the pattern in Acts is the Holy Spirit came when people were pushing the kingdom forward, when they were stepping out in faith, when they were even facing persecution. That is a great challenge to me. If I'm going to ask God for a miracle and him to work in a powerful way, but I'm not willing to step outside my door and take a risk of faith, I'm not sure why God would give me that miracle. Those are some of the things that we see in the New Testament as we study the early church, and we see this big influence of the Holy Spirit. We see them, it being connected to prayer, proclamation, and persecution.
So this is, like we said at the beginning, the fullness of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, is just a part of all the activity that the Holy Spirit is pictured as doing in the book of Acts. He really is the driver. He is the foundation of everything. The reason we didn't maybe dig into those specifically is because a lot of that is just his self-initiated activity. It's the Holy Spirit speaking or forbidding them to go some places or sending dreams and visions or even sending an earthquake. But for us, as we're asking the question of what did normal life look like, we really zeroed in on this because it is somewhat in our hands. It is a command to be filled with the Spirit. There's our involvement in the process, just like the broader process of sanctification following Jesus. There's work that we do and there's work that God does. And we want to do from our side what we can to pursue this filling. Just like Shaney said, pursuing Him in prayer, pursuing our relationship with Him, going deeper, both personally and corporately, and pursuing the mission, being willing to step outside and bet on our faith, to take risks and to ask, to put ourselves in positions where we really need this filling. We need to be filled in order to see what God wants from our lives. And so as we wrap up, we want to just think about how that applies to us, asking those questions of ourselves. Are we experiencing that filling? Are we seeking it? Are we expecting it? Are we asking for it? If nothing else, I hope that just looking at the Word of God, seeing how consistent a part of the life of the new church that was, the early church in Jerusalem and beyond, that we would begin to expect and ask for it as a part of our normal way of life, that we would do that both individually in our families and corporately together as God's people. I'm going to leave you with this quote from D. Martin Lloyd-Jones in a book called The Baptism and Gifts of the Spirit. Lloyd-Jones says this, quote, "Well, you and I, we read that in our New Testament, we look at the New Testament church, we see this amazing life that was in it, this power, this joy, this abandon, this thrill, and we ask ourselves, are we like that? And then we read of those other periods, the Reformation and Revival, when the church again seems to go back into Acts, and life and power come, and people are transported, as it were, into another realm and are amazed at themselves and wonder whether they have ever been Christians at all until this happened to them. Now we examine ourselves in the light of all that, and if we feel that we know very little about it, well, then we start by saying, I should not be like this. I must not remain like this. I see that there is this other possibility, and I want that. I want to be like that. I see the need of this, and I see the urgency of this need."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's Martin Lloyd-Jones, The Baptism and Gifts of the Spirit, pages 357 to 358. But what a question for us. Mm-hmm. What a question for us. Do we want it? Are we like that, first of all? And then start by saying, like he says, I should not be like this, but I want to be like that. I see the need for this. Just like Shaney was sharing, as we've been doing this study, we have been compelled, we've been convicted, mm-hmm. we've been driven to see the need for this in our own lives mm-hmm. and to desire it. And I think that God will honor that desire as we pursue it in prayer, as we ask for these things with consistency and with earnestness in our hearts. To be filled with the Spirit, to go out and to do what God has designed for us to do with the full power that He can supply. And so we pray that this would just lead you to be encouraged, hopefully maybe to be challenged as you look at the Word, and to believe and to expect that He can work in these same ways, that we would go back into Acts, like it said in that quote, that we would live that life. So that's our purpose in bringing together this daily life, the norm, for the New Testament church, the believers, we want to see more and more that would be the norm for us.
And I want to encourage you all. I know that sometimes when I read the book of Acts, it can feel like so different from my life that I can almost give up on it. But I want to encourage you all. One of the ways that God has encouraged me this week is just God honors small efforts, mm-hmm. small steps. So don't be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you're so far from this, pray and tell a friend, tell one of your close Christian friends so they can be praying for you and encouraging you. And I would just encourage you, find a lost person to share the gospel with. It is so important. It is so life-giving. Find a way to keep fighting for faith and be in a position where God can show up. Give God something to work with. And I think that we will all just experience greater joy and power of the Spirit and continue pushing the gospel forward. God wants to use all of us this week, no matter what, whether you're in lockdown, whether you have a busy schedule, mm-hmm. God wants to use all of us. We pray for the greater filling of the Spirit for all of us. And next episode, we'll be looking one more time at another New Testament norm.